a matter of life and death. Boy, what a statement that is. Amen? If you had pulled your car over and someone had their flashers on and someone was grasping their chest and they said, "He needs to get to the hospital. It's a matter of life and death." Let me just tell you something. No matter whether it was 12 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 in the morning, that person would have your attention when they say, "It's a matter of life and death." It means this is important. By the way, truly every day brings life and death, doesn't it? Every day. It could bring that for you even this week. We do not know. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3:1-2 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die." Ladies, you never know what day that your water is going to break when you have that little one. And I know we've got three waters on the horizon that are going to be breaking. Amen. You may have had a rough idea, but you never knew the exact time until it happened. Likewise, none of us knows when he or she will draw their last breath. And as we said this morning, young people die and older people die. Rich people die and poor people die. Men die and women die. Good people die and evil people die. Saved people die and lost people die. I have a message I preach on the sinking of the Titanic. I've not preached it yet. Here I will when the time is appropriate and the Holy Spirit gives me liberty. But it's based on the verse, Proverbs 22:2 says, "The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all." You know, there's only one place where the rich and poor meet together, and that's in death. They all die. I remember hearing a poor man say, if the rich people could pay the poor people to die for them, each poor person would make a good living. And they said it with kind of tongue in cheek, and that's true. And by the way, it's not a sin to be rich. I hope you don't ever get that impression. Praise God if God blesses you. God blessed Abraham. God blessed Job. Twice as much later in his life as he had. And so, but as long as we use it for the Lord. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away." Of course, we know the verse Hebrews 9:27, "And as an appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." We said this morning, and something for us to consider as we witness to people and as we consider praying for people. There is no chance to be saved after you die. It's gone. Every chance, listen, the only chance we have is when we're drawing breath in these lungs that God gave us to be saved. Jesus said that He comes to give us life and He comes to give it to us more abundantly, doesn't He? He said in John 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Real abundant Christian living. You know, there are many Christians that are just enduring their salvation when God wants us to live abundant Christian lives. Wants us to really enjoy life instead of just existing. Isn't that a terrible thing for a Christian to be existing? Just existing? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've got the promises of God. We've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside us. We've got the gospel of God, this treasure in earthen vessels, and God told us to go and to sow the seed and to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We can't just exist. We got to enjoy the Christian life. Here, Paul, he's dealing with this subject. Life for folks, Christians that are just existing, it just consists of going on vacation and having things. And as Rosemary Clooney said, we'll have to muddle through somehow. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the way God intended you to live the Christian life. Not to just be look. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with vacation. All those things, they're all good things. But what happens is they become our focal point. I'll tell you what, I'm going to this pastor's conference and I plan to go and to try to glean some ideas and enjoy myself and get around some other preachers. But I want to tell you something. I know preachers that go to those conferences, Brother Boston, and they're looking for the conference to do something for them when they need to get along with God. Listen, you know what a conference is? According to Jeremiah 1, it's a broken cistern. Doesn't hold any water. You know what a vacation is apart from God? It's a broken cistern. You know what we need to do? We need to go back to the fountain of living waters. Jesus Christ. Amen. And somebody said this, either get busy living or get busy dying. You know, Paul's Christianity was a matter of life and death. Amen. It was a matter of life and death. I want to notice a few things about Paul's Christianity tonight. I want you to notice, if we could, Paul's aim. Paul's aim, dead or alive, was to magnify Christ. Dead or alive, Paul's aim was to magnify. Look at verse number 20. It says there, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now, also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. We read the text this morning, a great text. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says this, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you, what is your aim in life and death? What is your aim? What's your goal? What are you shooting at? Could we say it that way? It ought to be to magnify Christ. It ought to be to magnify Jesus. Why do you, listen, Sunday school teacher, why do you teach that class? Well, Pastor, you said we need teachers, and so that's why I teach. Listen, that's okay. But you know why it ought to be? To magnify Jesus Christ. Amen. To just say thank you, as we sung about this morning. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you, this is my Savior. All I can do is offer my life, whether in life or in death, that I magnify you. By the way, this was not always Paul's aim, was it? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a ceaseless self-promoter. He was interested in shutting down the church. And he went about it by killing Christians and imprisoning them. What caused this change? Well, you ever read Acts chapter 9? While old Saul was on the Damascus road, a light shined from heaven, and he heard a voice. And it's just one of those scriptures you read, and it stirs your heart. Because only Paul heard the voice. Now, they saw the light, but I kind of think, and I didn't say much about it last week, but I kind of think at the rapture that only we get to hear the trumpet. That's just my opinion. There's no scripture for that. Hang on. I kind of think that we get to, I don't want to stand behind the pulpit. That's my opinion. But here, Paul, and by the way, praise God, he met Jesus. I praise God, as I was sitting there with James Cramer in my office, I said, can I show you something? And I showed him this picture that I keep in my preaching folder of what I looked like before I got saved. I said, I used to look like that. Then I met Jesus. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad for a life-changing experience with the Lord Jesus. I really am. And Paul's life changed. He just said, what did he say? He said, why persecutest thou me, Saul, in Acts chapter 9? And then what did he say? He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, what will thou have me to do, Lord? Well, that ought to be our aim. What will thou have me to do, Lord? Lord, I want to magnify you. And now, here's this one that was interested in killing the church and shutting it down. And now he has endured great persecution for Christ. He was literally stoned to death in Acts chapter 14 and beaten and shipwrecked and imprisoned. And you can read the whole laundry list in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But he said that my goal is to magnify Christ. Paul's aim, dead or alive, was to magnify Christ. Philippians 3, 6, or 7, 8. Just flip over a page there. Look at it. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Literally, all the things that people held on to, Paul says, just refuse to me. It's just garbage compared to magnifying Christ. Paul's aim, dead or alive, was to magnify Christ. Whether in his life or in his death, he said, I want to magnify the Lord. What is your aim tonight? Is it a house? Is it a car? Is it a four-wheeler? Is it a boat? Is it a vacation? None of those things are bad things. But they ought to be prioritized properly behind magnifying Jesus Christ as our aim. If God called you home, would you be magnifying Him in your aim? What you're aiming for? If those are our aims when death comes, you know what we'll do? We'll beg God for more time. Amen? Isn't that true? All those things and things and things and things. The Bible says in 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in Him that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Can I say this? Change what you're aiming at tonight. If your aims are all those other things, just change what you're aiming at. Last year, in Connecticut, I bought a pistol, and a friend of mine at church, we had some guys that were real heavy shooters. We had a gun club, and one of the guys said, he said, Pastor, have you ever considered buying a pistol for protection? I said, well, actually I have, and I thought about it even more after my young children were born. And he said, well, I've got a friend that's selling a beautiful gun, and told me what it was, 40 caliber Sig Sauer P226 Equinox. For all you gun guys out there, it's a nice gun. And so I went, and the guy showed me how to take it apart and how to make sure the shell's in the chamber and don't point it at anything and all those good things you learn, amen. And I took the CPL class in Connecticut, which was unbelievable. You almost had to go through everything. They, you know, social security number, pat you down. Just months and months of everything going through. So then I went to the gun club, and the guy said, why don't you take it out and shoot it? And so here I was. I got my stance, and I got my gun, and I'm doing what they told me, lining up the rear sights, and I'm all over the place. Pow, 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 and everybody's ducking. No. And finally the guy said to me, he said, what kind of gun is that? I said, it's a Sig Sauer. He said, get that front sight, point it at what you want to hit, and shoot. Squeeze the trigger. Change your aim. Stop looking at those back sights and start using the front sight. So sure enough, there, Mr. Jordan, I took that thing, looked at the front sight, and I popped that bad guy right in his chin. And I popped him in the head. And then I drew a smiley face all over him, amen, with all those holes. You know what I had to do? I had to change what I was aiming at. You know, we want a good verse for changing your aim. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What were all those things? Food, clothing, raiment, all those things. See, don't worry about those things. They'll take care of themselves if your aim is to magnify Christ. Paul's aim was to magnify Christ. In life or in death, he wanted to magnify Christ. Secondly, if you go back to Philippians chapter 1, we see not only Paul's aim, but Paul's assurance, dead or alive, was to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul's assurance, dead or alive, was to live is Christ and to die is gain. Verse 21 and 22. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want. He was firmly convinced that either way, Mr. Casabo, he couldn't lose. Either way. He said, hey, if I live, it's Christ. If I die, it's Christ. Amen? Boy, how we ought to think that. Paul's assurance in life, Christ would be his consolation. Philippians 2:1 says, if there therefore be any consolation in Christ. In life, Paul's assurance that Christ would be his example. Philippians 2:5. You know it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, Christ is our great example, isn't he? Humility. Deity, yet humility. Listen, if God himself can humble himself, certainly his creatures ought to. His creation ought to. Paul, Christ would be his consolation in life. He'd be his example in life. Christ would enable him to rejoice in life. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul knew in life, and you know the verse, that Christ would supply all his needs. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul's assurance in life, all those things about Christ. But you know what? Paul had assurance in death too, that Jesus Christ would take him to heaven. Paul had double assurance in life and death. And you know why Paul had that assurance? It's found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, Paul had made that presentation. He said, God, I'm yours. You can have me. You can do whatever you want with me. I remember hearing Brother Curtis Hudson years ago say he had a man in his church, and his church was just outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and he had a man come and present himself, and he thought he was Romans 12:1 presenting himself, and he said, oh Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go as long as I can see Stone Mountain from my house. That's not what the Lord's talking about, is it, Brother Holy? Amen? That's not the kind of... By the way, if you live like that, you won't have assurance that to live is Christ and to die is gain. To die is frightful because we've resisted the Holy Ghost, what He wants to do in it. So we need to present ourselves like Paul. Make Him all in our life. Like the song says, is your all on the altar of sacrifice made? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only have rest and have peace and be blessed if you yield Him your body and soul. Paul's aim, dead or alive, was to magnify Christ. Paul's assurance, dead or alive, was to live as Christ and to die as gain. And Paul's anticipation, dead or alive, was he was in a strait betwixt an easy yoke and an eternal heaven. He was in a strait between. He was in a place where he was stuck between, but it wasn't a rock and a hard place. It was a pillow and a feather bed. Here he was. He said, look at verses 23 through 26. He said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And each one of us would echo an amen to that. Don't you, listen, if you've got the Holy Spirit living inside you and you live in this wicked world, and listen, we have to walk amongst the world. Like those disciples, when Jesus washed their feet, He said, you're all clean, but I wash your feet because you get the dust of the world on you. And you know, as we walk through this wicked world, we get the dust of the world on our feet. And I don't know any real Christian that has the Holy Spirit living inside that doesn't think heaven would be far better. Because it will. But read the next verse. It's a great verse. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Listen, I have to believe that God in His providence brought my family here because to abide in the flesh is more needful for Loomis Park Baptist Church. You need a pastor. Need somebody to shepherd you. Need somebody to preach the Word of God to you, to challenge you, to comfort you. All that. Listen, that was Paul to the Philippian Christians. He said, listen, I'd like to go to heaven, but God's keeping me here because it's more needful for you. And then he says, just wonderful verses, and having this confidence. What was his confidence? His confidence was he was right where God wanted him. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me and by my coming to you again. Paul's first anticipation was to depart and be with Christ. He longed to see Jesus. Don't you? I love the story. And one of these days I'll preach it on Sunday morning about Thomas. What happens when you miss Sunday night service? Amen. what happened? Remember, Thomas missed the Sunday night service with the Lord. And then, of course, it was 8 days later. Here's old doubting Thomas, you know. I'm sure you saw him. Yeah. Except I see the print of the nails in his hand and put my hand into his side. And then the Bible says the doors being shut, Jesus appeared and said, all hail. And he walked up to Thomas. And praise the Lord. Isn't it good when you read those stories in the Bible about how patient the Lord was with us with our shortcomings? Because listen, I've got some of Thomas in me. I got a lot of Peter in me. Amen. I got a lot of different disciples. But he said to Thomas, he said, reach hither thy finger. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And he said, and be not faithless, but believe. And of course, Thomas made that great confession, John 20:28, my Lord and my God, deity of Christ right there. And what did Jesus say? He said, blessed are you because you've seen and believed, but blessed are they who have not seen and have yet believed. You know who that is? You and me. I've never seen him with my own eyes, but I long to. I long to see him face to face. Amen. Oh, I don't know anybody that wouldn't rather depart and be with Christ. He longed to see Jesus, and the joys of heaven certainly awaited him. And what my, did he have an accounting day coming in his favor where he said to the Ephesians, he said, hey, listen, I've labored night and day with tears. He said, I'm pure from the blood of all men. I've witnessed to everybody I can. Then his suffering would be over too. Amen. But his second anticipation was to stay and continue serving the Savior with the saints. And we looked at it, verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He knew God wasn't through with him. Amen? Listen, let me just say something. Senior saint, you may not be able to do all the things that you wish you could do for the Lord, or maybe some things that you used to be doing. I want to tell you something. God's not through with you. I am so thankful. Listen, I'm one of those, forgive me, I'm one of those busy pastors. Amen. By the way, that's what you all, trust me, you want that. You don't want a pastor just lays around, eats bonbons, and, you know, sleeps half the day. And I'm one of those busy pastors. I get up, Mrs. Jones will tell you, I get in the office and I start hitting it. Amen. We start going, doing things. It is such a comfort to me that the senior saints of this church are praying for me. Because could I say it this way? When you're busy, 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 sometimes you don't have enough sense to pray for yourself. And it's such a comfort to me. Listen, God's not through with you. He knew that there were more souls to win. And He knew that there were more saints to encourage. And could it be, ladies and gentlemen, that that's the reason that God has you in Loomis Park Baptist Church and has not called you home? By the way, when Paul came to his dying day, which was going to be at the hands of the Roman axe, he wrote those immortal words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those that love His appearing. How could he say that? Because his aim, dead or alive, was to magnify Christ. Because his assurance, dead or alive, was for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And his anticipation, dead or alive, was to be between that yoke, an easy yoke of serving or an eternal heaven. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's make real, Bible, abundant living Christianity a matter of life and death. Let's not be content with just going through the motions. Let's not just be, as I've said many times, Listen, I don't want to pastor an average church. I don't want to pastor an average church. I want to pastor a great church. And by the way, a great church is made up of great Christians. That's what a great church is. It doesn't mean that we're teeming with people, though I would love that. Amen? More people means more people hear the gospel. But listen, average is the worst of the best and the best of the worst. That's what average is. Listen, I want to pastor a church where people say, you've got to come to my church. You've got to come to my church. It's the friendliest church you've ever been in. You've got to come to my church. They care about people there. You've got to come to my church. Our preacher preaches the gospel. You've got to come to my church. Why? Listen, that's part of abundant Christian living. Abundant Christian living. Magnifying Christ and having that idea, that assurance that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And again, you can only say that if your all's on the altar. And then to have that anticipation. Hey, whether I'm here or in heaven, that's where God wants me. And I'm ready to serve Him. Let's bow our heads. A matter of life and death.